Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. And joining us today, I have Steve, Chris, Lauren, and Bob. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hey.
On today's show, we're going to be discussing a little bit of trip review, a little bit of news. So recently, Bob and Chris were at the Magic Kingdom, well, at Disney World, and they have a couple of things to report back. Chris, what would you like to tell us about?
Well, I was down there with my family, and Bob and his lovely wife, Donna, joined us for one night. And one thing we did was go to California Grill, so why don't we start with that? If you recall, a few weeks ago, actually it was in June, all of us went to California Grill for dinner, and we had a really terrible experience. It was super cold. The food was awful, and we ended up wearing tablecloths during dinner. It was that cold. So I kind of wanted to go back again to see if it could redeem itself, especially since it's closing down.
And did you bring a tablecloth with you this time?
So you didn't match everyone else? I brought an electric blanket and a snuggie. So you know me. But anyway, so I wanted to go back. Bob was very hesitant because the one other time he had been there, there were children all over the place screaming and yelling. This is according to Bob. So we went, me and Bob and Donna and my husband. So why don't you take it, Bob?
Chris is right. I did have reservations about going back, but overall I would say it was a much better experience. First of all, I'm happy to report that it wasn't freezing cold inside. So whatever the issue was that night, seems to have worked itself out, which is good. Food wise, I think they get a mixed review. I think Chris's husband Kevin got the best dish, which he got a scallop dish, which I think was excellent, and the presentation was very nice, and I thought your filet, Chris, was very nice.
Yeah, I decided to play it safe with that because they really can't mess that up, and they didn't.
You know, I had the halibut, which was unfortunately overcooked and over-seasoned, so it was very peppery and very dry. Presentation-wise, I thought some of the dishes looked a little poor. When they put it down in front of me, in fact, and yours as well, Chris, they put our plates down in front of us and I just could hear Gordon Ramsay in my head, you know, what is this bleeping dish? You know, you call that bleeping presentation, you know, that's because, I mean, your filet came out on basically just a bed of like mashed potatoes.
It had mashed potatoes and then on top of that, it had some green beans. Now, in fairness, it usually has this teriyaki barbecue sauce, but it's terrible. I never get it. I don't know why anyone could eat it. They put that on the side. So maybe it looks better with, like, you know, a little bit of that on there. I didn't think yours looked that bad. Cherry tomatoes were cute.
Well, I don't know. Mine was served on a bed of, like, couscous, and it had cherry tomatoes and all kinds of other vegetables, but it looked disastrous. It looked like it was thrown together. So it just didn't look good. But I can overlook presentation, but unfortunately, like I said, you know, my meal was a little bit overcooked. Dessert,
I would have sent it back, actually. I mean, as bad as yours was, there's no way I wouldn't have said, you know, this is not okay. Not at that price. Should we talk about the appetizers?
Sure. Oh, yes. I forgot about the appetizers.
Flatbread. So we had the four cheese flatbread and we had the cheeseburger flatbread because I was sort of intrigued by the homemade pickles. And that wasn't that good. It was a little vinegary. I thought the four cheese was better.
Oh, see, and I like both of them. I thought both were very tasty. I guess if you don't like pickles or you don't the pickles that they have. Yeah.
They had a homemade ketchup on it, and I thought the homemade ketchup was a little too vinegar tasting.
See, I don't know. I thought the flatbreads were great, and they were the perfect size for four people to
Well, that's good.
Share and each get a little bit. And you know, with the bread and your meal, it was great.
Which is good because those entrees are not big. And it's not like, I mean, you're 6 foot six. You need some food.
Right.
And even I was kind of like, wow, this is really a small entree. You know, you definitely need, a couple starters at that place at a minimum.
You do. I mean, even the scallops, it was funny because you said to Kevin, watch, you know, you'll order the scallops and they'll bring you out three. And that's exactly what he got, three scallops.
Right. On a bed of like a corn risotto.
Right. Yeah. Right. It was interesting. And then, you know, your filet, I thought was very small. So you're right. I mean, you're paying a lot of money, for not a lot of food.
If you want to eat at a signature and get a lot of food, probably Brown Derby or even more so Yachtsman Steakhouse. Mm. That's a ton of food.
Yeah, you get a lot more food at Yachtsman.
Yeah.
But I think the highlight as far as food goes was the desserts.
Yeah.
They knocked it out of the park on the desserts. So you got this chocolate sampler, which I'm trying to think what was on that. You had like a whoopie pie.
There were two little whoopie pies that had a frosting center, and they were served with they said it was a homemade marshmallow. I don't know if it was or not. It did really taste like it. Then there was a
What's a whoopie pie?
A whoopie pie is like two cookies sandwiched, but they're soft, almost like a cake-like cookie sandwiched with frosting. You would love it.
Did it come with a Yoo-hoo?
No. No, but you would love, knowing how you like your cupcakes, you would love the whoopie pie.
Kind of like a moon pie?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly,
sort of,
but
yeah.
Without the chocolate on the outside. And it was homemade, so it actually tasted good. It had a little cupcake, like a tiny cupcake. That was just so-so. And then it had a mousse with a mint flavoring. And then it had this incredibly delicious what are they called? They're called Buckeyes. So it's like a little peanut butter thing with chocolate on the outside.
Okay, yeah.
God, I could have eaten all of those.
Those are good.
So that was nice. And I was expecting, you know, usually when they say like sampler, you know, at these signature places, you get like two little cups of something. Yeah,
yeah.
A couple of small bites. So I was thinking, gosh, I don't want that. So I went with something else, but it was actually a large portion. I thought it was a generous assortment. That was nice. And then I had the, gosh, what is that name? It's the cake with the molten lava center, chocolate center, which
chocolate
was
molten
nice.
Cake.
Yeah, that's it. you think you're so smart.
Yeah.
You know, the chocolate molten cake and wasn't as good as the one we had on the Disney Fantasy, but it was nice and it was warm and rich chocolate flavoring. And then it was served with a berry sherbet. Somebody is chewing.
Sounds like someone's eating their dessert right now.
Right.
It's totally not me.
That was me.
I forgot to mute.
So that was really, really good as well. So I think the desserts stole the night. Overall, I was impressed with the quality of the food. I think if I was to go again, I wouldn't hesitate to do the flatbreads, and I certainly would eat the scallops because those were
terrific.
Now, did you time it for fireworks?
No.
This was the best part of the night is we left. We went out to the observation platform, which if people don't know, it's on the 14th floor. And so we're all standing out there looking around, and Bob was very cool. You know, he wasn't exhibiting any fear of heights. And Donna took a bunch of photographs. And then I was like, hey, there's a stairwell. Let's just walk down. And we get like, I think two floors down. Bob is having a panic attack. So we had to go in the little exit. Emergency exit, and we have a great picture of Bob holding onto the wall as he walks, because you know it is high up, and Bob, you're totally
it?
Not alone.
I actually saw that picture; it was funny.
Yes. Well, okay. In my defense, okay.
You have no defense.
No defense.
No. In my defense, I was not having a panic attack. Although I do have an extreme fear of heights, and I thought that the outside entrance. I'm used to the outside entrance. To the from the Contemporary being on the fourth floor, because there's that fourth floor balcony where guests can go and watch fireworks. I mean, I should have realized if you, you know, if you're on the 14th floor, 15th floor, and you go down two flights of stairs, you're only going to be on the 12th floor. So yeah, we go into the, you know, we walk in, we're on the 12th floor.
Unless they don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah, and it's, well, yeah, so it was very, very high up, and yes, it was very scary. So, so yeah, I was maybe just a little close to the wall.
Then we walked over, go ahead, sorry.
No, but just real quick, getting back to the Contemporary, to the California Grill, if I can, before you go on with your story, as far as atmosphere, you know, I would love to see. I don't think it's going to happen. I still think it's too noisy of a restaurant. I think they have way too many tables in there. You know, I think they're trying to accommodate the amount of people that want to eat there each night. But it's deafening in there.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It is that bad.
I'm really sensitive to that. And I wasn't bothered. And granted, you know, I tend to shut out the noise of children because, you know, I'm used to it, but I didn't feel that it was an issue.
Oh no. I think if you were someone who wore a hearing aid, there would be no way that you could turn it on because the noise would be overwhelming. I think there's just too many tables in there. And while I don't see it happening, what I would love to see them do in a refurbishment is remove about half of them. I think it would give a lot more space to move around. I don't think you'd feel like your table mates are right on top of you. But again, I don't see that happening. I mean, overall, I think they probably went from an F in my book to about a C minus. So that's
I give them a B plus. I've consistently been happy there. The only time I wasn't happy was in June. And in fairness, they had a problem with the kitchen that night. But you know, I think in general, I'm happy with that place, and I'm eating there at the end of the month, so hopefully it'll be good. And I'm really hoping that when it's done in June, I really hope that it's something, you know, special, because you can't beat that view.
No, but I mean, and it's fine. You give them a B plus. What I'm saying is I give them a C minus.
Because you're never happy.
Because going up from an F, that's a pretty big jump. I mean, that's a pretty big improvement. So, yeah, I would be willing to give them another shot after this. And that's not something – I mean, for me, that's big, because honestly, they did not impress me the first time. So,
I would say I am
somewhat impressed this time.
Well, and they're going to remodel, right?
Yes.
Yes, starting in January, it'll be down for 6 months, and I think they already have the new chef over there. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Yeah. So after that, we walked over to the Magic Kingdom, and of course we went over there to ride, you know, different attractions. But one reason we all really wanted to go over there, well, me and Bob, was to check out the new interactive queue at Dumbo. And I had done this, I don't know how many times at this point with my kids, because my kids really liked it. But if you're not aware, you know, they've moved Dumbo from the middle of Fantasyland. They've moved it to Storybook Circus, which is where the old Toontown used to be. And there's two of them there now. And in the middle, there's an interactive queue. And you could go in the right side and you can use the queue. Or if you use the left Dumbo, then you're using a fast pass. And so you go into the line. And, you know, I think both times we waited between 5 and 10 minutes, you know, to go in there. And you get up to the front and they hand you a little pager. It's not a magic feather, as I was originally told, and which gave Bob no end of amusement. But it's a little pager, like in a restaurant. They give it to you and you wait and you play in there, and there's benches on the outside, and there's like all this stuff kids can climb in, and grown-ups can go in there too. I actually went in there. Bob wouldn't go in, but
it does say meant for ages 2 to 12.
But there were tons of grown-ups in there. Well, I think that one thing was meant for 2 to 12, but I think go in there if you're a grown-up. I mean, what the heck? Nobody stopped anyone. But anyway, it was cute. So anyway, like the way it was explained to me, if you have a 35-minute wait, you'll play for 25 minutes in Dumbo, and then you're pager will go off and you will magically gather your children, which proved harder than you might think because, you know, they're having a good time. And then you'll go get in line for like another 10 minutes and then you'll ride Dumbo. So it's a brilliant idea. And there's so much going on in there that the kids really don't want to leave. There's a couple of issues. One of them is it holds 175 people. So at that point, it's really crowded. You can't see your kids. And the other issue is, oh, there's no bathroom. That's kind of bad. But the other thing is there's a back door and you can use that. You can just leave if you want to, but no one's manning that. So if you have multiple children and you have a kid that likes to run, your kid could easily go out that back door. So I'm sure at some point there's going to be an incident where some kid walks out the door and the parents.
Where does it lead?
It leads to
backstage.
No, it goes out past Goofy. There's a stroller parking area. It goes past Goofy's Barnstorm. It's like a little pathway and it's fairly close to the bathroom. So like, for example, if you have to use the bathroom and since there's not one in there, you just tell them, you turn in your pager and they'll give you a fast pass and then you just go ahead and go out the back door.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Use the bathroom and then go back and get in the fast pass line.
I was going to say, to your point about the bathroom not being in there, if you're standing in line for Dumbo and you're in line for an hour or any other ride for that matter, you're not going to have a bathroom.
Well, you know what?
You gotta
that
be prepared.
Is true. That is true. I think what would have been nice is if they had like one like bathroom where you could get a key for and take your kid in or something. I don't necessarily think having a restroom where people had easy in and out is a good idea, especially when you can't watch your kids. But having like a little emergency, like, hey, ask the cast member for a key, go in there, use it, you're done. I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea.
And it comes like on a big like tire rim or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like at a gas station.
A big elephant ear.
There you go. A big weighted chain.
The bigger issue, and Bob can speak to this too, the bigger issue is that back door. I mean, you know.
What's wrong with the back door?
Well, you can say that your kids aren't going to go out it, but, you know, I had four kids I was watching in there, and any one of them could have been like, what's back here, you know? And it's hard to keep up with all of them, and it's hard to...
Do kids do that all the time? No, I mean, with 175 people in there, you know, between not being able to see and kids are running, they've got that rope area and it can be very hard to see kids in there. And there's lots of things for kids to climb in and through and under. Yeah. I can understand how it could be very easy for a child to, you know, get curious, explore, push up against the door and walk out. And even if they don't intend to, maybe walk out. If they're young enough, they don't know how to get back in. They're confused. They don't realize they could just walk right back around. And now you've got a child walking around outside. I guess they had to do something because if somebody needs to use the bathroom, they need a way out.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if there's
an emergency
or something. Yeah. So you need an emergency exit. Plus it doesn't help too that the door that they have you going in and out of says emergency exit alarm will sound right on the door. So we were all kind of
Bob was like, can we do that? Bob was like, can we do that? And I'm like, yeah, trust me. We've had the bathroom run before from here.
So,
because you know, as soon as I got in there, Sophie was like, she played for like 10 minutes and she's like, mommy, I have to go potty. And I'm like, really? So
there you go. But no, I mean, I think it is a neat idea. And if the biggest issue turns out to be that children don't want to leave the play area when they're called, I mean, that's not a terrible issue to have, really.
No.
But couldn't they? I mean, if they decided to stay, do you think that they can still get in line, or how does that work if you're late?
I can answer that because the first time my kids were in there, we were about 15 minutes late answering our buzzer. So,
in
fact, I actually went up because I didn't know what to do. I was like, so here's my buzzer. It's going off. And she took it. And then I'm like, well, I have to round up my kids. So it took me that long to round them all up because I would find one and then the other would, you know, I was like, I couldn't find them. And I wasn't really trying. Frankly, I was enjoying the air conditioning. So then, you know, I finally got them all and we went on, but they were like, yeah, whatever. They were pretty laid back. So. Yeah.
Good.
So they probably allow a little leeway because they have to realize it can take time just for that. Yeah. It's got to be tough to round up kids, but overall, I think it's a neat idea. So
yeah, I enjoyed it, and it was really fun to run around in those little cages up there.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, the other thing that is noticeable now in the Magic Kingdom over in that area is the castle walls are just about done in that section leading to Belle's Village and Beast Castle and that area, and it looks fantastic.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it really does. And of course, they've just started, figures right after we leave. They've just started operating, limited, I guess soft openings before the soft openings. I guess you could call them limited previews, test runs, while they're getting prepared for November 19th. So they've been letting people in,
since September. About Monday.
Yeah, so they're ahead of schedule.
So I wonder if we're going to be able to get on it maybe when we're there.
I think we're going to see something. Yeah, think so.
I'm hoping to go up there on Saturday. So by the time this airs, I'll hopefully have gotten on there.
You
but
need
right
to
now,
get in there
I'm
before
be
Steve
really,
and Lisa
really
do.
No, we're going.
Well, I mean, right now, the only thing that's open or that people are being allowed into looks like Enchanted Tales with Belle. And, I mean, if you've seen the pictures and the videos online, I will say the technology is impressive. Some of the best I've seen. Specifically, the mirror, the magic mirror in Maurice's workshop that transforms into a door that guests walk through. That's really incredible. And then, you know, once you're inside Beast Castle, you walk through that portal into Beast Castle and you're greeted by the, what is she, an armoire? You know, I guess
she's an armoire.
She's an armoire. Yeah. And that talks to guests and, you know, gives everybody, you know, who wants to a role to play and you're going to be acting out the story of the night when Belle and Beast met. You know, and then once everybody has a role, Lumiere calls them all into the library and, you know, and then Belle comes out. So it's this really fantastic. It's almost like it's not a meet and greet because you're not just standing in line for a quick picture. But it's not an attraction. I guess it's somewhere in between. It's almost like an extended meet and greet.
Yeah. So it's more engaging
it's an engaging meet and greet because, and I think kids will love it. I mean, of course little girls are going to love it and the whole princess thing, but I think little boys will love it too because, you know, anybody that wants to play a role in the story can, and just to be there and to interact have that experience. And then of course there's a photo pass photographer taking pictures of everything. And the person that plays Beast, which I guess is a little boy each time, gets to dance with Belle at the end of the story, which is cute.
Aww.
You know, so yeah, that's cute. So it's a well done, production. I would have to agree with other reviews that I've seen that, you know, have said, you know, this works well, but it's a good thing that Disney didn't have three of these type of meet and greets, you know, like what was originally planned, because that would probably be overkill. I could see this being very, very popular for kids, definitely. And you know, as far as the technology, it's totally worth checking out. I look forward to seeing it in person.
Because, yeah, we'll tell you how it is, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? If the two of you get to go in there,
well, we'll go and I'll be Belle and he can be Beast.
Yeah, don't tell us.
Yeah, we don't want to know.
We don't want to know.
Especially you.
We'll make a video for you.
I begrudge Lisa, but you, I begrudge. So.
What about me? Do you begrudge me?
No, just Steve.
Just Steve. But no, so, you know, so that part looks great. I mean, you know, it's very cool.
Now, can you see some of the Fantasyland when you're riding Dumbo, Chris or Bob?
Any of the stuff you're not supposed to see?
Yes, you can see a lot. And honestly, the landscaping looks pretty far from being done. So.
Yeah, I will say, you know, looking at pictures of Maurice's cottage, the queue line outside looks pretty open. And, you know, that now chances are, you know, in the next few months, trees and things are going to grow in and they'll maybe plant more and there'll be more shade. But right now it's totally open to the elements and to the hot Florida sun. So I've got to believe they'll be tinkering with that, you know, and hoping that things continue to grow in, you know. But yeah, it looks fantastic. I mean, I hadn't been to the Magic Kingdom in I guess a couple of months. And, you know, when you see those new castle walls, it's like, wow, that's, you know, this looks amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. And they'll probably have the fake walls around the Mayan roller coaster, kind of like California Adventure did for the main entrance for a while. So you'll be walking around, but
I would imagine that, but doesn't seem to be impacting, you know, the guest experience at all, you know, so far.
Oh, Bob, speak for yourself. I walked around the entire time cursing Walt Disney Imagineering. I'm teasing you. You know I did.
Why? Because they told you there was no way it would open. Not going to open in 2012.
Shh.
No way. Never happened.
Horses.
Now it's like early September.
Don't even.
Well, you just never know. So let me ask you this. I mean, of course, the other part of Belle's Village is Gaston's Tavern, and we learned this week, you know, that the signature drink is going to be, and I don't know if I'm saying this character's name right. Is it LeFou?
LeFou. Don't you know? Have you not seen that movie dozens of times?
Dozens of times.
Which one's LeFou?
LeFou is
the little short guy.
Little short guy.
Come on, Gaston.
Pull
yourself together.
Right. The guy who basically Gaston's buddy, LeFou.
Yeah, his little sidekick. Guy.
Don't make me sing
it. Come on, Chris.
Please don't.
I'm in.
Please don't.
Bob has heard
me
sing.
Yeah. Please don't.
Gosh, it disturbs me to see you, Gaston.
Right.
I'm so down in the dumps.
All right. Good.
Every guy here wants to be you, Gaston.
I'm not singing anymore.
Even when taking your lumps.
Do you sing that to your kids? Because I sing those songs to my kids all the time.
I don't sing that one, but if it comes on, I sing it.
I don't sing it to them. Chris.
Do you really? Can I tell you just something? This is how much I sing to my children. So my daughter is on the plane. She's being a real pistol. And she starts singing the theme from Carousel of Progress. And she sings it like all the way back. To North Carolina.
Nice.
But I was like, what can I do?
I'm sure the lovely people on the Southwest flight around you were thrilled.
Somebody came up to me in the bathroom, like after we landed. She's like, oh, your daughter was just adorable. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. That was nice. But yeah, she was singing. She was singing that in the Little Mermaid song. So.
Well, before you broke out into a horrible musical.
He doesn't have the best singing voice. I was trying to be raspy and short.
I thought you did really very well.
Bob is
a crab apple.
As I was saying, so we you know, learned this week that the signature drink at the tavern is going to be this LeFou's Brew. This no sugar added apple juice with marshmallow.
Is that the problem you have with it? Is that there's sugar added?
No. Topped with a passion fruit mango foam.
You know, they had me until the passion fruit mango foam.
They had me till the marshmallows.
I think the marshmallow might be good.
I don't know if marshmallows
can fix anything.
Yeah.
No, marshmallows are disgusting.
No,
because you know what they make them out of?
They're like cupcakes.
They make marshmallows
out of
cow's hooves.
I don't want to know.
They do.
It's just like any gelatin.
Oh, no. Disgusting.
Well,
you could get vegan marshmallows, but I'm thinking those aren't vegan.
Okay, you know what? I'm not here to discuss what marshmallows are or aren't made out of. Okay, my whole point was, okay, first of all, this is the same drink that's served in Cars Land, so it's nothing original, but it looks a lot like a particular drink served in a particular theme park, you know, located just a little ways up the road from Disney.
Where would that be?
That wouldn't be Butterbeer, would it?
Yes, yeah. Oh, we have a winner.
Yeah.
It's totally not like butterbeer, because butterbeer has delicious butterscotch goodness in it.
Yes.
And it's like the best thing ever.
I don't know. I guess it'll be popular as the signature drink, and the cute little mugs that you can get, you know, with either Belle or Lafaux or Gaston on them, I should say. I think it's actually Gaston on one or Belle on the other.
Yeah.
I think those are cute, but, you know, and those will probably be popular with guests, but I don't know. Doesn't this strike anybody else as, you know, a little desperate?
No.
No. You know what's, because they realize that that's super popular.
Right, but it's like, I don't know.
Do you think everything Disney does should be original?
I don't think it should taste like desperation.
Well, why reinvent the wheel? I mean,
right. Well, I have to say that the butterbeer is not going to taste anything like this.
Yeah.
No, I think they're very distinct flavors. I just think it looks eerily similar and.
Well, it's got the foam.
First of all, what's wrong with just having a tavern and not having a signature drink?
Well, you got it. That's why they have
the tavern. Everybody needs a signature drink, though.
Yep.
Well, okay, if it's a signature drink, why not create one specifically for the tavern? Why use the same one that's in Cars Land?
You know, you can't drink in the Magic Kingdom, so you got to go with something
right.
Like
well, obviously,
this.
Right, obviously. Yeah, yeah you know. I don't know. I do like the idea that they're going to be serving warm cinnamon rolls all day. That's cool. Mm. I like that.
Because you can't get those at the bakery, right?
But I don't want to walk all the way back to the bakery if I'm all the way in Fantasyland. I don't know. I mean, to me, it just looks a little.
We'll have to try it because I didn't have a chance to try that drink at Cars Land.
No, I don't know. I mean, marshmallow and apple together don't sound like a good combination to me. But
I'm actually with you on that one.
Yeah.
You know what would have been better? Like a caramel. Like they should have had maybe sort of like an apple flavor with a caramel
top. That I could see because then it would taste like a caramel apple. That would be good. But,
Need like the passion fruit and the apple juice and the marshmallow. I think there's too much going on there.
Right. I mean, passion fruit, mango, apple juice, marshmallow. I mean, like.
Chris, I think you should talk to somebody in the Imagineering department and see if you can get that switch to the
apple. I need Tom Staggs to call me. Call me Tom.
You know what you need? You need like a shooter of like a shooter of Pop Rocks to go with that.
That would be awesome.
Nice.
Throw them in your mouth.
Maybe they'll sell those too.
But, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, hopefully Gaston's Tavern will be open soon too, and the rest of it. But something to look forward to with that.
I'm gonna make a prediction. All this stuff is gonna open the day I leave.
I think you're right. I just, as long as Steve doesn't get to see it before us, I don't really care. That's my new goal. It's one of the few things I can manage. I can't be the first person in there, but if I could deny him the happiness of seeing it before me.
What has he done to you?
Nothing. It's just, I think that because he's been making fun of me for being so excited about this. So if he gets in before me, I'm going to be sad.
You're not going to be sad. That's putting it very lightly.
I'm going to take a picture of me licking everything in there before you have a chance to even touch it. You're going to be like, Steve's tongue was on this. Yuck. I'm going to ruin it all.
That's like something a 10-year-old boy would do. Well,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And your point is, Chris?
Right.
I know. I don't even know where I'm going.
So, all right. Well, the other big story coming out of Disney this week, if I can get our minds away from passion fruit mango foam, is the again rumor surfacing that the Avatar Land or Pandora World of Avatar, whatever you want to call it, the project in Animal Kingdom is apparently dead. And that the focus now is to bring Cars Land to Hollywood Studios.
Hmm.
So, can we first cheer about Avatar being dead?
Well, hopefully.
Well,
yeah, we've been hearing about it all along.
We have been.
That was just a bad idea on so many levels.
Yeah. And it was, and I think we've all come to the conclusion that it was, you know, if talk about desperation, it's like clinging to the first big, you know, successful movie that came along, you know, Avatar Land. And I mean, even the news conference where they announced it, they didn't have anything more than like a rough sketch. You know, I mean, there were no ideas really thrown out about it, but assuming it is dead, I think, you know, I was reading on another Disney forum, and I think it's a fair criticism of something that I had said that I didn't consider, that you don't necessarily need a hit movie to have a hit attraction.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean, Test Track, Soarin',
Haunted Mansion.
None of those were based on movies, and those are all very popular attractions within the park. I mean, granted, it's maybe a little different when you're talking hit attraction versus building an entire themed land.
Yeah.
But who's to say you couldn't have like this lush jungle-like landscape that would fit inside Animal Kingdom with a couple of, you know, groundbreaking attractions of some sort? I mean, theoretically, you could have something like that and have a success and just call it Pandora World of Avatar.
Yeah, and that could work.
You know, and I really couldn't argue that point because I think that was a fair criticism. But yeah, I mean,
but like we talked about before, the marketing or the merchandising, nobody knows those characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to sell any of the Avatar stuff. The movies are, you don't know what the second and third movie are going to be like, if they're going to be a hit or a flop.
Yeah.
Or when they're even coming out. And I like the idea of Cars Land, but I think they still need something at Animal Kingdom because they don't have anything to keep people there at night, and that's what they were trying to do with the new land. And then they could also take Everest offline to fix issues there, which they probably can't do until they add something.
Right. No, I agree with those points. I think Animal Kingdom does need some attention, some kind of a new attraction, because I know for a lot of people, you know, if they're running short on time or they're looking for a park to skip, the first thing that gets cut is Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, people see it as a half-day park, and I'm not going to spend my time there or a lot of time there, and I'm gone. You know, I'll ride one or two things, and I leave. So I would agree that's fair. But I mean, is Cars Land what's best for Hollywood Studios?
I hadn't been to Disneyland until a couple of years ago, and I guess a lot of people are like that. They're just going to Disney World and they'd love to see Cars Land, but I liked having it exclusively at Disneyland because it gives you something new. So they're not just lifting and shifting the, you know, Tower of Terror at every park and now Cars Land at every park and it's the exact same. I'm sure it's cheaper for them to do that because it's already been designed. It's already been tested. They can just, you know, put it in and tweak a few things and get rid of Luigi's flying tires and, you know, put something else in and then keep the other attractions the same. So it doesn't cost them a lot or as much money as it did to do at Disneyland. But
right.
I'd kind of like to see something new at Disney World, but I have a feeling most Disney fans that aren't traveling to both parks would love to see it.
That's pretty much exactly what I was going to say.
Well, but let me ask you this, because again, and I've seen this point echoed elsewhere, and I think it's a good point. You know, a lot of people are saying, yeah, my family doesn't travel to Disneyland. I'll never get to Disneyland. So they need to build it at Walt Disney World. Well, but isn't that a bad reason for Disney to build an identical land in another park? I mean,
they need to tempt you to go to Disneyland.
Well, I mean, as one blogger put it, he said, you know, I may never get to Easter Island, but you know, that doesn't mean I want those giant heads replicated somewhere, you know, in the United States just because they can.
Between Disneyland and Disney World, there's a lot of duplicate rides.
Well,
but that's an entire area.
Right, exactly. I mean, we're not talking. Yeah.
You know, they could maybe put a couple of the rides in.
Maybe. Maybe rethink test track or something.
No, I mean, if you're if you're gonna put in a couple of rides in Cars Land, you might as well just put in Cars Land. But Chris is right. There's a difference between, you know, putting Toy Story Mania, one attraction. Okay, we think this is gonna be a big hit. Let's put it on both coasts. And, you know, let's build an entire land that we know is a surefire hit in Hollywood Studios because, hey, it needs something. Might as well give it that. I mean, given the choice between them not doing anything and Cars Land, yes, I would love to see Cars Land, but I think it devalues what was already done at California Adventure. I think it would take away from all of the improvements at that park. And honestly, if you want to see Cars Land, California is not on the other end of the earth.
Yeah.
It's impossible to get to.
The problem with Disneyland is that it's very expensive. And I think especially if you're on the West Coast or East Coast, you're talking about plane tickets. The resorts are more expensive.
Right. That's fair, but it's not. People may have to. Yeah, go ahead.
But having said that, I would love for it to stay at California Adventure. I think that I think that it kind of made it special. And as someone who had never been to DCA before Cars Land went in, that wasn't much of a park without it. You know, with it, it's a fantastic park, and I hope it stays there.
I have to say, I've had a lot more people interested in going to Disneyland because of it.
Well, and here's the thing.
But the boys love it, and there's nothing for boys, really.
There's nothing like that for boys.
As somebody who's been to California Adventure before Cars Land, no, that was a decent – I wouldn't say that was a terrible park. That's not true. That's not fair. It was a good park. It didn't get a lot of love from – their base, which is their locals who hated it, but it was not a bad park at all. Does Cars Land and Buena Vista Street and what they did, you know, with those changes and the money that they invested make it a great park? Absolutely.
Yeah.
First of all, if you're a big Disney fan and if you're traveling to Walt Disney World regularly, I'm going to presume you are, then you owe it to yourself to go out to Disneyland and see the original, you know, and see the differences and experience all of that. I mean, granted, yes, it will take people, you know, you may have to plan more. It may take you longer to save to get out there, you know, because hotels are more expensive. Food is a little bit more expensive. Flights are definitely more expensive, especially if you're, you know, coming from the East Coast. But it's not impossible to get to. I mean, people saying, I will never get to California. No. Well, that's, you know, I will never get to California, so they need to bring it to Hollywood Studios.
I think, you know, just kind of stemming off of Bob, if someone goes to Disney World every year and they say, I'll never get to Disneyland, you know, cut your Disney World vacation from 7 days down to 4 or 3. And that's probably I'm just trying to get them out to Disneyland. You know, cut it in half. And that's going to be a good enough savings to put toward the following year. Mm-hmm. And you're there.
It's actually hard to make that jump though, because, you know, Disney World was always, you know, my park. And I think it's kind of cute how people who are local to Disneyland say, well, our park, and we say our park for Disney World. I mean, it is sort of, we tend to be very attached to our parks. And for me, I wouldn't have gone if we hadn't planned this meetup. And now that I've gone, I'm like, wow, this is fantastic. I can't wait to go back. But, you know, it is a big step. It's a lot of money to take. I mean, go to Disney World for half the amount of money.
Yeah, yep. The flights will kill you.
The amount of money that we'll spend going to Disneyland is twice what you would spend at Disney World when you throw in the flights.
I was going to say, my plan only works if you're flying to Disney World and then flying to Disneyland. So if you're driving, I mean, obviously it's a no-brainer.
What I'm saying is, okay, but even if you – okay, I'm going to skip Disney World for a year or 2 years, but I'm going to go to Disneyland and I'm going to experience Cars Land. I mean, I don't argue that Hollywood Studios needs work. It needs a lot of work, but I just would love to see – that is a park with immeasurable potential, and I would love to see them do something completely different. I mean, ideally, what I would love to see front of the park, they need to convert into like a Buena Vista Street and bring back the streetmosphere, because that's what makes Buena Vista Street so successful. The streetmosphere, like they used to have at Hollywood Studios, all those characters walking around, interacting with guests, you know, the policemen and
I agree,
and,
I like that.
You know, the construction workers and you know all of that.
I mean, you know what? Yeah. They actually had some good ones out when we were there the other day. I was really impressed. I hadn't seen it's that many people out there.
But yeah, but they, I mean, it should be an all the time, you know, they need to, you know, so spruce up that area. Then I would love to see them do Hollywood Studios in various themed lands. You know, I mean, there's so much, for instance, you could have a Pixar land and you could expand Pixar Place, and bring in the long rumored Monsters Inc. attraction. You could have a Muppet themed land. I mean, Muppets are hot right now. Jason Segel introduced them to a whole new generation of kids. If they jump on that, there's no reason they couldn't have a new Muppet expansion. I'm kind of surprised this one hasn't happened yet. I don't know if the relationship with George Lucas isn't great, but an expanded Star Wars universe.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that it would have happened already, and I don't know why it hasn't, but, you know, I mean, even if they turned – if they made the ABC commissary the Mos Eisley Cantina and turned it into a bar where people could actually drink, they would make thousands of dollars every day of just people getting liquored up, you know, to drink in the Star Wars, you know, cantina. You know, and if you're going to take anything from Disneyland, take out the old and tired Indiana Jones show.
Oh, that thing's horrible.
Okay, and put in Indiana Jones Temple of Doom attraction from Disneyland. That ride is terrific. It still draws huge crowds even after a decade at Disneyland. You know, I mean, so you could have these multi-themed lands. That, to me, would be far great. Again, do I think it's going to happen? No. I think we probably will end up with Cars Land, especially since Kathy Magnum ended up, you know, being moved over here.
I think it's wishful thinking. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think they
want to bring people out to Disneyland, and I think they know that Cars Land is a draw. If they put it in Walt Disney World, it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to happen. And really, just because they sent her to Disney World, I mean, I don't really see that as having any bearing at all. It's not like she's a one-trick pony and the only thing she could do is create Cars Land.
Yeah, you think they put her over there, you know, that was a big project that was successful, and they want to do Avatar, right, which is another big project, and or other things at Disney World.
Well, I think what you're going – go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, can I make a prediction?
What?
Because Chris thinks it's not going to happen, I'm going to say it's going to happen.
Well, you know, actually, Chris, you make a very good point in that they want to draw people to Disneyland. If right. you put it in Disney World, then all those people who were thinking of going to Disneyland don't go. You know,
can I just
and
tell
now
you?
And now you're back in the same position or similar position to that park lagging in attendance again.
Can I just tell you something? When I talked to a lady a couple of weeks ago, and she's right in the middle of the country. She's in Chicago. And so flights are about the same to Disneyland and to Disney World. And she wanted to go to Disneyland. And so we put together a package. She was on a very, very tight budget. And it was really expensive for her. And I said, well, look what you could get at Disney World because of free dining. And it came in a longer trip, came in considerably less money with the dining. And, you know, obviously it was a no-brainer for her to go to Walt Disney World. So you have to have something that draws people away, not just from their comfort zone, but from the fact that Disney World has much better discounts, no question about it. And much better, you know, you've got the dining plan and things like that, which is very appealing to families, especially when you have free dining. So.
And I don't think you're going to see that or not on that scale at Disneyland because that's not their base. Their base is you know, their locals. But again, I mean, for everybody saying, I will never make it to California, stop. Because you absolutely can make it to California. I mean, you may not make it to California on the time that you want. You know,
and then you're going to walk down Main Street and you're going to see the castle and you're going to be like, is that it?
No.
Yeah.
You will say that.
No, don't listen to Chris.
It's true. Okay, it's a fantastic park.
And then, you're going to walk into Fantasyland and go, wow, this is so much better because it's got the Matterhorn. It's got the Alice in Wonderland dark ride. It's got the Mad, or it's got the
Mr. Toad's
Wild Ride. It's got open air teacups. It's got Storybook Land. It's, you know, a far better Peter Pan ride. Okay, positives and negatives. What I'm saying is, you know, if you're a Disney fan, you know, please don't count yourself out as saying, I'm never going to make it to California. They need to bring XYZ over here because otherwise I'll never experience it. Make a point of, you know, finding a way to make that happen, even if it doesn't happen for, you know, sell a kidney, even if it doesn't happen for a couple years, but people saying, oh, I'll never get to California, so they need to bring it here.
Can I just say that, given a choice right now, I'd go to Disneyland before I'd go to Disney World. I mean, I love Disney World, but there were so many things about Disneyland I really enjoyed.
Yeah. Given a choice, any day of the week, I would go to Disneyland.
Okay, and I'm going to point out.
Any day of the week.
I'm going to point out back to this whole scenario of the money. You don't need to spend as much time at Disneyland.
That is true.
So it's really probably 3-4 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can spend as much time as you want, but I think.
I felt like 4 days did not give us enough time.
Well, we had a lot of
other. I think it's an adequate amount.
We had a lot of other events. I mean, 4 days is with Cars Land and stuff. With the lines huge right now,
it
can be tough. But those will diminish over time as it you know, everybody who wants to see it, you know, and has gone out there, you know, takes their trip. So I expect those crowds to go down a little bit. You know, it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to have those 2 hour waits all the time, especially since I think they're going to work out the kinks here in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. You're like Nostradamus.
I think it's realistic to assume that within the next few months they'll have figured out what the issues are, and that will help with the, you know, the problems on Radiator Springs Racers. The other thing about Disneyland, I mean, you don't have to stay at one of the three Disney resorts. There's plenty of good neighbor hotels which are more than comfortable within, you know, walking distance to the Disneyland resort.
Yeah, so, and you can save some money that way.
Yeah. So if all you're looking for.
This horse.
Well, yeah.
And what was our topic?
Go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Did we have a topic?
Awesome.
Well, this was news and whatever else popped into our head.
Oh, that's true. I did open it up.
Yeah. But this was a big story this week because the rumor is that Cars Land is coming to Hollywood Studios. And I don't know. I'm just really sick and tired of people.
I'd like to see something new and different, so we have something cool that everyone wants to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I see them reusing stuff all the time, you know, with the merchandise, and you know, you buy a shirt and it says Disneyland, Disney World on the tag.
And
do you know what was funny is some of the Cars Land merchandise was also at
Art of Animation.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna end the shenanigans right here. We're gonna wrap up the show. Thank you for
do it again because I said crap at the beginning of your thing.
You said crap?
I did. I said crap like in a Scottish with a Scottish accent.
Crap.
Anyway, crap. You're full of crap.
A Scotch is a drink or a bit of sticky tape.
Crap. Is this Austin Powers? What is this?
Yeah, it's Austin Powers. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, let's stop all the shenanigans right here and we'll wrap up the show. I'm sure we can go on and on, but let's just stop now. We'd like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring our podcast. If you enjoy the show and the information and commentary that you get from our mouse chatters, please feel free to throw your business their way. They'd like that, wouldn't you?
Very much so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, if we've helped you at all, we'd be happy to help you plan your vacations, too. So anyway, thank you to Pixie Vacations. And as always, you can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. And you can send your comments and questions to us at
comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.